We shall be like him. Oh, how rich the promise. This is one of our favorite hymns. It's sung at baptisms, funerals, and to encourage us at many of our meetings. It cheers us and reassures us of God's promises of having no more to deal with sin and its troubles. These words urge us to continue in our walk through this wilderness, knowing that we have much joy ahead of us. Who wrote these words? Why did he write them? This hymn, as well as many other hymns in our green hymn book, were written by a brother named Charles Joseph Caldicott. Charles was the second son of Brother Edwin and Sister Eliza Caldicott. The two brothers, Charles was baptized in 1878 at the age of 16 at the Temperance Hall in Birmingham, England. Charles's older brother, William, he followed in his father's footsteps as a gold engraver. But Brother Charles became an expert piano tuner and repairer. In 1883, Charles married Sister Martha Doricott, whose family stayed with Brother Robert Roberts. In 1885, there was a problem in the brotherhood due to a dispute about the inspiration of the scriptures. Well, Brother Charles stood firmly with Brother Roberts, and he soon became a very strong speaker for all the ecclesias in that area. In 1890, he and his wife moved to Mansfield for about 18 months, and this little small ecclesia was soon fully using Charles's talents. He organized the formation of a young man's mutual improvement group and became its president. He lectured regularly in Mansfield and the surrounding towns and cities. In 1891, he wrote the tune Glory, which was published in the Young Folks magazine, and therefore, with his unmistakable ear and his musical talent, he was put to work conducting choral classes in Birmingham for many years. He wrote the hymn The Master Calls, as well as others, which were published in the Young Folks magazine. He was appointed to the committee set up by the Fraternal Visitors editors to produce a new hymn book to replace that hymn book of 1874. With the help of Brother W. Porter, he selected the music, composing several pieces himself. Charles also wrote many unknown number of songs for his friends. Brother Caldicott was never an official ecclesial organist, but he did play when he was called upon to do so. In 1912, he became a popular speaker over a wide area of the country. He is still remembered by a few for his outstanding knowledge and understanding of the scriptures, and for the beauty of his reading in public, and for the reverence in which he presided. He was known to his friends as CJ, and he always walked into the meeting precisely 1 minute before it started. Charles lived to be a ripe old age of 81, having spent 65 years in the service of our Lord and Master. Sister Martha, his wife, died a couple of years before him. Charles wrote the music for hymn 388, 103, 339, 362, and 419. This one hymn, 388, he also wrote the words setting forth for his hope and our hope. Let's take a look at this hymn and appreciate what an exhortation Brother Caldicott wrote for us from the scriptures. We shall be like him. Oh, how rich the promise. This hymn is based mainly on 1 John 3. See what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we see Him as He is, and everyone who has thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. What an incredible promise of joy, life with our Lord Jesus Christ, to be like Him forever and sinless. You have shown me the path of life, and You make me glad by being near to me. Sitting at Your right side, I will always be joyful. Psalm 16:11. What greater could our love, Father's love, prepare? 2 Peter 1. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellency, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion, and become partakers of the divine nature. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Few are the words, and softly are they spoken. Few words. As with the writer of the Hebrews, God's word is brief in many ways, but He has given us what we need to know and to learn in order to follow Him. Hebrews 13:22. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Softly, we should sing this slowly, softly, as the word says, because that's how God spoke with Elijah. 1 Kings 19. But who shall tell the blessings hidden there? We need to picture the kingdom in our minds, to make it a place we truly want to be at. We need to keep looking forward to that incredible promise, this hope that we have been given so generously. Paul says the same thing in his letter to Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Caldicott says in this line, who shall tell the blessings hidden there? There will be so much more than we can ever imagine or conceive for us there. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. God has revealed to us through His Spirit. Then shall the King say unto them on the right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. We shall be like Him, pure in heart and sinless. 1 John 3. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. We shall be pure. Revelation 19. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. We shall be sinless, Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the return you get is sanctification, and it's in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But His redeeming mercy ends not there. But is a very big word in Scripture saying, look, there's more. We shall receive mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6, Matthew 5:7. These bodies, like to His, shall then be fashioned. Another incredible blessing. These bodies will no longer be subject to sin, sickness, pain, weariness, hunger, thirst, but will be like Jesus, immortal and strong. We're told all these words in the Bible. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness when I awake. I shall be satisfied with beholding thy form. Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is from heaven, for we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enabled Him even to subject all things to Himself. And we, His resurrection glory, share. Here we have a choice. It's our own choice whether we be there and share in Christ's resurrectional glory. Matthew 13:41. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Let us be of this group that Paul speaks about in Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. We should be like Him, raised above all weaknesses. For behold, the day is coming burning like an oven, when all the arrogant evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healings in His wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Forever, past all weariness and pain. You know, this is something we definitely look forward to as we get older. Isaiah 40:31. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, don't lose heart. Though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Even death itself shall have no power over us. 1 Corinthians 15. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable puts on imperishable, and this mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up into victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. When with Him, with our risen Lord, we live and reign. Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy art you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. The people that these verses are speaking about are you and us. You and me, we can live as priestly kings with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What choice do we make? So in the hope of bearing His bright image, again, Brother Charles points out that we shall be like Him, like our own Lord Jesus who gave His all for each of us. And we will be like Him. Look at what both Daniel and Peter says in Daniel 12:2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Rejoicing in the presence of His gift of grace. This is why we are here this morning, to rejoice in God's generous, loving gift of mercy and grace to us, undeserving people. Yet, because we believe and love Him, He loves and has mercy upon us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:8. His love shall keep our hearts in patient waiting. Isn't this amazing? That God will help us wait for this great and glorious day. He's with us all the way. Listen, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God, which He has promised to those that love Him? God, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by His grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. Till we in glorious beauty see His face. John 17. Father, I desire that they also whom Thou hast given me may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which Thou hast given me in Thy love for me before the foundation of the world. Job 19. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He stand at the last day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold not another. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5 and 8. You know, the psalmist guides us in how we can be there with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 16, 7. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure. For Thou dost not give me up to Sheol, or let Thy godly one see the pit. Thou dost show me the path of life in the presence. Therefore is fulfillment of joy. In Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Here we see we are to keep the Lord constantly in our vision and follow His loving counsels and guidance in His Word. Let us close with this thought. We shall be like Him. We shall be with Christ as we hope, look, and love for His appearing. May we all here this morning have the same confidence that Paul had. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love His appearing.